Welcome, and thank you for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. All participants will be on listen-only mode for the duration of the call. During the question-and-answer session, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. I would now like to turn the call over to Tara Rice. You may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Tara Rice, and this is the presentation for the TPP Performance Measures Requirement for TPP Tier 2B Rigorous Evaluation Grantees, as well as our OAH and CDC-funded TPP Tier 2C grantees implementing innovative programs for young males. I am joined on this call by Matt Benson from RTI International, who is the contractor for the TPP Performance Measure System. Today, there's a few quick logistics. This conference is being recorded with audio and visual and will be posted later on the website for future reference. You will be in listen-only mode during our presentation. And at the end, we will take questions using the phone lines. However, there is also a Q&A box at the top of your screen, and if a question comes up while we are talking, you can type the question into the Q&A box, and we will stop at the midpoint to take some of the questions that are in the Q&A box. We might not have time to get to everybody's questions today, so please feel free to follow up with your question later on after the webinar. So today we're going to go over an overview of the TPP performance measures requirements focused on the needs of Tier 2B and Tier 2C rigorous evaluation grantees. We'll talk about a timeline for data collection, and for the group that's on the call today, the timeline is going to be different based on whether you're an OAH-funded Tier 2B grantee or an OAH-CDC joint-funded Tier 2C grantee, and we'll get into that a little bit later. And then Matt will give an online reporting system demonstration, as well as a demonstration of a grantee spreadsheet tool that can help you with tracking your data. For those of you who were at the Tier 2 orientation meeting back in November, this slide looks familiar because we talked about this then. Performance measures, you know, are very important to OAH and to the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Grant Program. They are measures that accurately reflect the progress and the accomplishments of the TPP grant program. We collect them for accountability and reporting to our stakeholders, such as Congress and HHS leadership, but they are also important tools for you as grantees, both for program management and quality improvement. Now, OAH and CDC will be seeing all of the data that you report. Congress will see some of the data. When we report data up to our higher level stakeholders, they are reported at an aggregate level across all grantees and across all across a given tier. So individual grantee organizations are not identified when we report up. And we'll be talking a little bit later about what the timeline is, and of course, you know, there's two different timelines, one based on whether you are a Tier 2B grantee, a different one based on whether you're a Tier 2C grantee because your grants were awarded on different dates. Now, there's some key terms on this slide that we're going to be talking about throughout the webinar today, and I will note that these slides are going to be posted on the website for future reference, and a lot of these terms and definitions are on the website, so I think these will be helpful for you to refer back to frequently. One is grantee organizations. So the grantee organizations, you know, are generally going to be those of you who are on the phone today. Those are the organizations that are actually awarded the grant from OAH or from CDC for the 2C grantees and are responsible for ensuring the reporting of the performance measures data. We also talk about implementing organizations. This might be more relevant to the Tier 1 grantees than to the Tier 2 grantees, but some of you probably do have implementing organizations that you're working with. And we would say that those are subawardees or partners who are implementing a program model or intervention as part of the project. In many instances, you yourself as a grantee organization are, you know, maybe an implementing organization, and you may even be the only implementing organization, and that's fine. We also talk about sections a lot in the performance measures reporting. And a section is defined as any class or group of individuals who receive a given intervention together at the same time. So, for example, if you're doing an intervention in a school, in a health class with ninth graders, then that each ninth grade class that gets your intervention together would be considered a section. And then finally, we're going to talk about reporting periods. Reporting periods are six-month intervals for which you would report your various performance measures to us. And generally, these reporting periods are going to align with when your progress reports are due. Performance measures are collected and reported at different levels. Grantee organization, there are project level measures that are reported, specifically measures about partnership, training, dissemination, and certain select cost measures are collected at an aggregate level across the whole grantee organization. Then there's other sets of data that are collected at the section level. And so if you have implementing organizations, subawardees that are implementing your program, that would be at their level. If you yourself are the implementing organization, then you're collecting this data as well. This includes reach, which is your total number served, as well as demographic characteristics. It's dosage, which is going to be derived from your attendance records. Fidelity, observed fidelity and observed quality. Healthcare linkages and costs. So we'll be talking more about definitions for these terms shortly. So first, partners. So partners are organizations that are working with grantees but are not part of the actual grantee organization. So we talk about formal partners, and those are any agencies or organizations who work with you on the project and you have a written agreement such as an MOU or a contract with them. There are also informal partners who you might be working with who support the program through networking or coordinating activities. An informal partner, you don't have a formal written agreement with them. And so what we're going to be asking you to report to us during each period is going to be how many partners, formal and informal, were involved with implementing the program during the reporting period. And we're also going to be asking you how many of your partners remained engaged at the end of the year. So for this first reporting period, I'll just add that most of you are probably going to have some partners' data to report, and so we are encouraging you to report that to us. There's also training questions, and we asked about trainings of facilitators or implementers of your intervention. We talk about two different categories of trainings. We talk about trainings for new intervention facilitators, and we talk about trainings for that are given to facilitators who are continuing with your programs. So these will be any sort of supplemental or follow-up training. Okay, and so these trainings can include training specifically on the program model or intervention that you're implementing, but it can also include trainings that help your facilitators or implementers deliver the program. So you could give, you know, public health related trainings, you could give classroom management trainings, et cetera, and we would like to know about those during each reporting period. We also asked about dissemination. And dissemination is really going to talk about manuscripts and presentations that were published or presented during the reporting period. Of course, you know, during the first reporting period, you might not have very many, if any, of these to report. The natural course is, and expectation would be that as we go along, you would have more articles and dissemination events to report. So the questions that we ask are about the number of citations or manuscripts that were accepted for publication or published. We also ask about the number of times that each approach is used to communicate information about your project. This includes brochures, newsletters, press releases, radio or TV advertisements, newspaper or magazine articles, or other items. And we ask about the number of unique items that you are creating in each category. We also ask about the number of times information about the program was presented at conferences or meetings. We talk about national conferences. This would be, you know, an event that has a national attendance, such as, for example, the American Public Health Association. State conferences, you know, those are attended by key stakeholders at the state level. And then local meetings, which would be community events or meetings that you're presenting or other. Now, we also ask about cost measures. And for those of you who were with us in the first cohort, cost measures are new this time around. And so these cost measures are really aimed at the grantee level to look at how much money is being spent around personnel items, office space, and facilities, as well as other sources of funding that are outside of your TPP grant. Now, all cost measures are going to be reported once a year. So those would be reported at the end of the year, of the grant year. So if you're an OAH-funded grantee, that would be in July. If you are a CDC-funded grantee, that would be in October. And the personnel costs specifically include things such as salary, payroll taxes, and benefits paid. It also includes an estimate of proportions of personnel costs for each organization that are used to support activities such as general administration, participant recruitment and retention, training, service provision, fidelity monitoring, and evaluation. These terms are defined more specifically in a user's guide, which is available on the TPP Performance Measures database under the Resources tab, and Matt will be showing you shortly where you can find those resources. We also ask at the grantee level about financial diversification, and this is really about an estimate of the amount of funding that's outside of your TPP grant that assists with the implementation of the TPP-related program activities. So this would include fundraising or cash. It can include other grants besides your TPP grant. It can include other internal agency funding and in-kind contributions. And again, please see the Resources tab for more information about how we define these terms. And we also talk about section data. Recall that the section is the group or cohort that gets the TPP intervention together at the same time. So we ask for each section to report on total reach. So this is the total number of individuals in the section who attended at least one activity. And we also ask you to report to us reach by various characteristics. We'll be showing you what this looks like in the database shortly, but we're going to be asking you to report on the number of individuals that are served based on the setting of implementation. So, for example, is this an in-school program or is this a community-based program? And there's a full list that you will see on the Resources tab of the TPP database. We ask about reach by gender, reach by race, ethnicity, reach by age, and reach by grade. Another component that would be reported at the section level is dosage. Dosage is going to be derived from your attendance records for your intervention sections. And dosage is going to provide an indication of how much of the program or intervention a given participant received. Now, the two things that you're going to report to us for dosage are going to be average participant attendance and the percentage completing 75% or more of the sessions. And a little later on in the presentation, Matt's going to show you an optional grantee spreadsheet tool that can help you convert the participant attendance into these average percentages. Okay. We also ask for fidelity and quality at the section level. What we're asking you to report to us is specifically fidelity and quality that's coming from observations. Okay, so recall that, you know, at the Tier 2 meeting, we talked about fidelity monitoring for those of you who were there, and we talked about the expectation that you would be observing at least 10% of all intervention sections for fidelity and quality. And so our measure for fidelity that we're asking you to report to us in the performance measure deals with adherence to the number of planned sessions. So each intervention has a certain number of planned sessions, and a session is just a meeting. So if you're implementing a program that has 8 meetings once a week for 8 weeks, then it would have 8 planned sessions. And when you report adherence to number of planned sessions, you would be reporting to us how many sessions you actually implemented for that group and how many were actually delivered. We also ask about observed adherence to program-specified activities across the sessions. So each session will have a given number of activities, and that's going to be defined by you since many, if not all of you, are the developers of your interventions. So, for example, one session of a program might include one role play, one video, and one game. For that one session, there would be 3 activities in total that were planned. And then what you would need to report is how many of those planned activities were actually implemented in any given day. And then finally, we also ask about observed quality of implementation averaged across sessions. This relates back to the OAH observation form, which has several different questions that look at the quality by which your intervention is being delivered. And there's finally a question that deals with overall quality. So those items are going to be entered in as an average across all of the different sessions that are observed. And if you're thinking, well, how do I track all of that? We're going to show you with the spreadsheet how you can do that for each of your groups or sections that are being implemented. We're also asking grantees to track the healthcare linkages. And so basically this question is going to look at the number of referrals that are made by program staff at the implementing organization level. So this could be you yourself. It could be your partners who are implementing. It could be your schools that are sites, whatever level the program is actually being implemented. You'll want to track any referrals that are made to program participants in the following categories: reproductive health care services, mental health care services, primary health care, educational services, vocational education, intimate partner violence prevention, or healthy relationships training. And then finally, at the implementing organization level, there are also questions that relate to costs. And these are specifically going to be about costs incurred for implementing core or supplementing program services and monitoring their implementation as part of routine program management. Now, again, many, if not most of you, are the developers of your interventions. And so some of these items about payments that are being made to program developers are not necessarily going to be relevant to you because you're not, you know, you're not necessarily buying your materials. You're, in many cases, you're developing your materials. So it's perfectly acceptable for you to, you know, for you to put zero for a lot of these items. And again, they are all defined more specifically on the cost guide on the PPP performance measures system. We also have the other direct costs that are incurred to support program implementation, and this could include program materials, training or technical assistance from outside providers, training or technical assistance or professional development from outside providers. So again, some of these might not be relevant to your group, and that's fine because you are the developers. Monetary incentives for program enrollment or participation, non-monetary incentives for program enrollment or participation, program support such as meals or transportation, program recruitment tools, and media campaigns. Now, a few logistics about data reporting. So OEH is working with RTI International through a contract, and RTI has developed and maintained a performance measure system for our TPP grantees, and RTI also helps us with providing technical assistance on the performance measure system. The target date for website readiness for data entry is Monday, January 18th. So here are some of the key expectations for grantees with data reporting. One of them is that we ask that you designate staff to collect and report the performance measures data. Now, in some instances, this could be staff within your organization. It could be also be staff outside of your organization, such as your evaluation team, if you're contracting with an independent evaluator, or it could even be some of your partners or sites. So it's really up to you as the grantee to designate who's going to be responsible for that. But do remember that ultimately it is your responsibility as the grantee to ensure that the data is reported to us at the appropriate time. We also ask that all grantees develop a plan for ensuring that the data are collected and reported to us via the website on time. The next point is really important for Tier 2 grantees. We ask that if you need to propose any proxy measures, that you get our approval for these in advance of collecting them. So for those of you who are at the Tier 2 orientation meeting back in November, we did discuss this. We do realize that, you know, this was Tier 2, that this is innovative programs, and that there are several of you who are doing programs that are text messaging based or technology based or app-based programs, and so you might need to, you know, rethink what some of your quality measures or your fidelity measures are going to look like. So if you do need to do something different, it's very important that you propose that proxy measure, send in a justification for it, and that you pick a measure that will still be the same construct. So if we're asking for a percentage for fidelity, then whatever you propose as a proxy for fidelity also needs to be a percentage. So we are also asking that you collect and report data to us beginning with your program pilot. This is different for those of you who were with us in the first cohort. We didn't ask for program pilot data back in 2010, but this time we are asking for program pilot data to be reported. Now, I believe that the majority of you will probably be piloting your programs sometime this spring or maybe into the early summer months for CDC grantees. So that's when we would expect you to start reporting data at the section level to us. However, if you have any data at the grantee level right now, such as the partners training or dissemination data, we would ask that you report that to us for this first reporting period. And we do also expect that you'll be using this data to monitor program implementation and provide feedback to your program implementers, be they facilitators or teachers or health educators. All right, so some of the data is reported at the grantee level, and we've shown you that, particularly the partnership training and dissemination data. And then there's other data that's at the section level, and, you know, you might choose that to, as the grantee, to report that yourself. You might have the evaluator report all of it, or you might ask your implementing, you know, sites and your facilitators to enter that data for their individual sections. That choice is entirely yours based on what's going to work best for you and your partners. Attendance data should be maintained at the individual level, but you're only going to report attendance to us at the aggregate level, specifically at the section level. This is the schedule for collecting and reporting the data. All right, so what we're showing here is the schedule for the OAH Tier 2B grantees. Your reporting period, your grant started July 1st. So your first reporting period, six-month period, went from July 1st, 2015 through December 31st, 2015. And your data are due January 31st, 2016. Now, you'll notice that in the progress report guidance, we said February 1. The reason why we said February 1 is because February 1 is Monday, and January 31st falls over the weekend. But just keep in mind that your notice of award says data is due 30 days after the reporting period. So in future years, it is going to be due in at the end of January. The second reporting period for OAH Tier 2B grantees runs from January 1st, 2016 through June 30th, 2016, and the data for that period would be due on July 31st, 2016. Now, again, July 31st is going to fall over the weekend, so we're really going to be looking for it by August the 1st. And for the CDC Tier 2C grantees, there are three of you, three organizations, and I have not forgotten about you. Your grant started on September 30th. So your first reporting period would run from September 30th through March 31st, and your data would be due to us on April 30th for the first reporting period. And your second reporting period would run from April 1st through September 29th, and that data would be due by October 30th. So when you go into the system, you'll see reporting deadlines for both the OAH-funded grantees and the CDC-OAH jointly funded grantees. Okay, before we move on to the website review, I'm just going to check the Q&A box to see what questions anyone has written so far. Okay. So Genevieve has asked, are costs referring to overall development and implementation or implementation cost only? So that's a great question. So as I mentioned before, we do have a detailed list of the definitions on the website and a user's guide. So please check that, and I think that your question will be answered there. And so Randy asked, some of our schools have 80-minute class periods and may conduct two lessons in some class periods, whereas other school periods are 45 minutes, and so the teachers will only collect one lesson per class. For an 80-minute session in which two lessons are delivered, would that count as one session? So the answer is yes. So your session should be based on each meeting of the group. So you might be based on the school that you're in, you know, different schools might give you different periods of time of, you know, to implement. So you might have to plan your implementation differently for your different sites. So you'll need to come up with, for each of your sites, what are the planned activities for that site. So you might have, you know, for an 80-minute session, you would have more activities planned for that session than you would for a 40-minute session. Okay, so next question from Sally. Are we expected to report fidelity for all sessions in a section or just the 10% of the sessions that are observed? Okay, great question. So the answer to this is that recall if you went to the Tier 2 orientation meeting, we talk about fidelity plans. And so we talk about having some sort of overall fidelity that your facilitators or implementers would be tracking for each session. What we're asking you to report to us for the performance measures is just the 10% of sessions that are observed. Now, if you do more than 10% of sessions, that's great, and you can certainly report more than 10% to us. But what we're specifically asking you to report to us for performance measures purposes is the fidelity or adherence to sessions and activities. That answers your question. Julie, all right, so Julie asked a question, and it's specific to her program, but I think there's some, I'm going to take the aspects of it that are broad and can be applicable to everybody, which is more specifics about how do we consider new trainings versus follow-up trainings. Okay, so, you know, really, it's up to you to decide if training, what I would say is training that's specific to a given topic should be counted individually. So if you're doing a weekly series of trainings for your facilitators and each individual training is on a different topic, you could consider that separate trainings. But if you're doing a whole series on one topic and it lasts 8 weeks, if it's all on the same topic, I would just consider that one training globally. And Hillary asks for one-on-one interventions. Is each person considered one section? And so in the last cohort, that's what we asked people to do is consider for the one-on-one interventions such as the clinic sessions, but also clinic-based programs, for example, but it could also be something that's delivered by social services providers or therapists. It's probably easier to consider each person to be one section. But you could look at the spreadsheet and alternatively consider everybody at the site who's served by the same facilitator or the same nurse or the same therapist as a section, and then track that globally. So I would say you could consider either of those options based on what's going to work best. I will say from the last cohort experience, it was easier for individual level sessions to count each individual person as a section. And then the follow-up to that is, should we track linkages made by program staff funded by this grant during program sessions? And I would say yes. So you should track any linkages that are made by the program staff. So that can include staff at your organization, or if you're working with partners who are implementing your program, it might be someone in your partner agency as well. Okay, I'm going to take one more question from Genevieve right now, and then we'll come back to the other two questions later. Genevieve's question is, must proxy performance measures be approved before January 31st? And so the answer to this is, if you're not implementing this reporting period, no, they need to be approved before you start implementing your pilot. So I believe that for most of you on the phone, you have not started piloting yet. So it's okay if you're still finalizing your proxy measures right now. I would anticipate that the majority of you as Tier 2B and Tier 2C grantees would only be reporting on partnerships, training, and dissemination data. And so we mentioned that in the OEH guidance on the progress, 6 months progress report. So if you know what your proxy, what your proposed proxy measures are now, then, you know, obviously the sooner you send them in, the better. But if you're not going to be piloting your program until later on in the spring, you can wait until, I would recommend that you send in proposed proxy measures about 4 weeks before you're planning to start your pilot. Okay, so in the interest of time, I'm going to move on and turn the call over to Matt. And please keep typing in your questions, and we will come back to the Q&A box later on and pick those up, as well as open the line for questions by phone at the end. Matt.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. And Tara, can you confirm you can see my screen?
Yes, I see it.
Great. Okay, so again, I'm Matt Benson. I'm from RTI International. And so we've developed the website, and so let's introduce you to it. So Tara had mentioned that we've got resources posted for you on the website, and so here to get there, you would just go ahead and click on the resources tab, and there are several there, so we could take a quick peek at a couple. So the grantee performance measures, that's a document that just shows in a one central place the information we're asking you to provide, so picking programs and state settings where you're implementing, has all the different measures that we're asking you to provide. As Tara said, costs are collected just once a year. But so how costs are presented on the website, similar to that, you can have a look at that to familiarize yourself. Continuing downward, speaking to what we're looking for reach and dosage and fidelity. The point is just for you to know that this document exists, and you can come and have a look at it. Here, cost at the implementing organization level. So just know, please, that that document is out there. And the cost, a lot of questions sometimes come up about costs. So you know, there is a definitions document for costs. Open just a moment. So there you go. You're not sure what a term means. Just go on ahead and look at that. And there's also a cost measures user guide. So there's helpful things regarding costs. There's also a document with general performance measures definitions. So just various definitions for different things that we believe you'll find to be helpful. So on a range of subjects related to what you will report. Okay, we'll get to the grantee spreadsheet. We're going to actually have a look at that and work with that a little bit later, and we might have a look at this observations form a little bit later too. So let's go quickly back to the homepage, and you know, that has in text some general information about purposes of the grant and overview of performance measures and the website. Something else useful here is that when you need some technical assistance in providing your data to contact us, you would just go ahead and you'd click here for this address. Just put in, of course, the subject, describe what the situation is. Your organization name is really helpful, and your grant number would be helpful as well, so that you do that. Let's go a little bit, describe some categories here. So as you'll see in a moment, there are reporting pages specific to grantee organizations, and there are reporting pages that certainly grantees can fill out, or they can charge members of their implementing organizations to fill them out. As far as what can be seen, if you follow our protocol for how people gain access to the site, for the grantees pages, only members of the grantee team will be able to see those. For implementing organizations, the particular implementing organization, you know, they'll be able to see the pages specific to them. Of course, the grantee will be able to see those pages as well. Let's have a look at the grantee pages. So first, you'll notice that there are several tabs here, and we'll go through them, but just the idea is you'll just click on a tab and get to different parts. Some overall items on the page is we've got these little italicized eyes that can help you, can give you some information to help you. They're just meant to just provide a little bit more information that you might find to be helpful. You see a save button. You'll see this on every data entry page. And just please make sure before you leave a page to go ahead and hit save so your changes will be saved. And let's see what else on the page. Let's now have a look at some specific items. So the project officer, that'll be pre-filled. We know what a project officer is for what grantee. Here, we ask for some primary contact for a grantee organization. So please put in here the person that we'd reach out to if we had questions about data. So I just plugged something in there for the purposes of this training. Then you, at the grantee level, will indicate what states you're serving in. You can just scroll down to get to the states you want. I went ahead and selected Alabama and Arkansas. Very easy to select, unselect. Same thing with setting serves, serves. So you've got the list there. And I went ahead and just chose these. And then urbanicities, same thing. I just went and chose that. At any time, you can just go ahead and hit save, get the message. Then for programs, I've already earlier on added these programs, but to go ahead and add a program, well, you click add a program, and you go ahead and pick pick the program that's appropriate to you. And then you can also choose other adaptation if that's appropriate. I'm going to come back to this a little bit later. But if that's not, if you made a wrong selection, just should be able to click out of it and then choose the one that's right for you. You can also, for those of you creating your own program models, you can just type it in. So let's hopefully, I'm just making one up there. You see, you can type one in if that's appropriate for you. So for the purposes of this demonstration, I'm just going to go ahead and just I'll just pick one. Okay. So here, you would indicate the ideal number of sessions it'll take to implement the particular program. So I heard earlier from a question that this number can be different depending on the setting. You know, if there's an 80-minute setting versus 45-minute, that's going to make a difference, but just, you know, just overall your best sense of for that program implementation, how long you think it's going to take, how many sessions. The choices you had made earlier about what states you're implementing in globally appear here. So for Quidite here, let's say we said it was taking place in Alabama and in both middle school and high school, and let's say urban and suburban. So you can see the choices, again, you made earlier get filtered here. So we hit save. And let's see. Ideal number of sessions is required. So I guess I didn't input that. Let's just say 8. And that's something else that's helpful to here to see, that if you these red asterisks indicate the information that's required, so if you don't provide it, you'll be prompted to provide it. We do want you to provide all the information here. We were just thinking that in this case, it's possible someone partially would provide and then go gain further information and come back to the website. But anyway, provide as much as you can, and in the end, provide all of it. And you'll see prompts for items that have asterisks by them. Go ahead and click Save, and you can see the program has been added. Here, you'll see on the site, this is an edit icon. So if you wanted to go back in, this just brings you right back there. So let's say we had meant it to be 10. Go ahead and save it, and we're good. This is a delete icon, so you can just use that as it's appropriate to do. All right, let's move to the Implementing Organizations tab. So here I had one thing to note is that whatever your grantee name is always going to appear on the first line. So we're working here on the development site. This isn't the production site. This mirrors the production site. And it says, so I just created a user for myself and associated it with this particular grantee. So that appears here. And so you would put any implementing organizations here as well. So I added ABC implementers. Let's say we wanted to add an implementing organization. Just say we just did that. Put the contact name. Just putting anything in there. Put the phone number, just putting anything. The organization is defaulted to active, but if at some point they become inactive, you can switch it to no. All right, so here we're going to indicate what programs this organization is going to be implementing. All the choices should have come through on the from the first page, so we really should see Cuidate here. So please just know, so as Tara's slide indicated, we're working to get this all set and ironed out for the 18th on Monday. So we're working on just getting everything there. But anyway, you'll make a selection from the programs you earlier had indicated you'd be implementing. So I'll choose Making a Difference. I'll choose Alabama here and here, so you make your choices. Okay, please correct me, and the phone number should be formatted, okay? Good. All right, so that's how you add an organization. Now, same thing if you wanted to change any of the details, you'd go to the Actions tab. That's the icon for edit, and you could make those changes. Now here, for viewing access accounts, so let's click on that. And so there's there aren't any access accounts for this implementing organization here. So you as grantees, you register directly through the website for yourselves, and I imagine many of you have already taken that step. When it comes to any members of your implementing organization teams, you go ahead and request access for them here. It's important to do it here rather than tell them, oh, just go to the website, because if they just go to the website and they have your grantee number and we see that, then they're going to get the status of being able to see your grantee pages. Now, maybe that's okay with you, but if you don't want that to happen, just you create a request for access here for your members of your implementing organization team. So how to do that? Go ahead and create access accounts. Just come up with an email, just putting whatever, just to move forward, save. There we go. So you can see a couple things that happen. First, the system generates a username, and then what happens is an email will be sent to this address, welcoming the person, giving them some instructions to access the site, and that's how that'll happen. And again, you can status someone to not being active, which should prevent them from gaining access to the website if you like, as well as time goes on. So you just create as many access accounts are needed for the particular implementing organization. So that's how you do that. Getting to partner summary, we won't read through all the particulars at this time, but basically you just provide the numbers in the box and you hit save. This is the first time on the website that you see this reporting period called out here. It's defaulted to report period 2 because we're technically in report period 2 right now. But for those of you who will be reporting partners' data for report period 1, you just go ahead and change it. And I already have some numbers plugged in, and you just plug numbers in and you hit save. And again, if you happen to not provide something that's required, you'll get a message to do so. Moving on to training, same thing. Make sure the report period is right. Go ahead and enter the numbers, hit save. Dissemination page. So should you get to the point where you're going to add a manuscript that you have had accepted for publication during the reporting period, you would click on Add Manuscript, and you've got the several fields appear, and then you'd go ahead and enter them, hit save, and that will show up here, and the count would switch to 1 and increase as appropriate as you add more. Here is where you indicate the number of times each approach was used to communicate information and raise awareness. And so you saw these categories on the slide earlier. So you just go again, go in there and put the appropriate numbers. As Tara was saying, so let's say you had, of this category, you had created 1 unique brochure, for instance, and you had printed it, say, 1,000 times. You wouldn't put 1,000 in here. You would just put 1 because it's the 1 distinct item. Citations, similar to manuscripts, their fields, go ahead and enter them, hit save, and that'll save for you. If there are other, we have a space for other should you be communicating information and raising awareness in a different way than those listed here. Here's where you would put information about the number of times presented at conferences. Again, you would hit save there. So that's those are items that we just covered that the grantee would exclusively report. If we go to the implementing organizations tab, so here is an area where the grantee can again report all this data or can charge implementing organizations to do it. So we've got here the grantee is always populated by default, and then we can see the 2 implementing organizations that had been added. So you can look at it through any view that you like. I'm going to go ahead and select DEF implementers. And then we have the information for them here, some basic information. Go ahead and click to program models. So we said they were implementing Making a Difference. So we go ahead and now we want to view sections. We haven't created any sections yet for that program, but let's say let's come up with a section name. Just create one, hit the green icon, and the section is created. If you want to edit the name, you just click edit, make your changes, hit save. You could potentially delete a section name too. I wouldn't do it if you start providing data for it without contacting the help desk. Let's say we wanted to create another one. We'll just say, there we go with that. So we've got our sections named. Now let's go ahead and provide the data that's necessary. So we'll click the one relevant for Kennedy High School Period 1, View Sections Details. Takes us over here where the program comes over, the section name comes over, and other information comes over as well. You want to just make sure of several things. You want to make sure that the report period that you're interested in is selected. Make sure all of these filters are selected as well. So if you had indicated that this implementer was implementing Making a Difference in more than one setting, for instance, here you would choose the predominant setting from the selections. Here we just picked 1, so it just shows 1. Okay. Moving along here, so first we'll say, you know, this area is going to look neater, more attractive as we get closer. Categories. In the spreadsheet I'll show you momentarily, I think you'll find to be very, very helpful in allowing you to put data into the answer boxes here. So we've got total reach, average participant attendance, youth completing 75% or more of sessions, number of sessions that were planned for this particular section. All of this is pertaining to this particular section. And a number of sessions complete for this particular section. Let's scroll over here for a minute. So we had total reach over here. We have reach broken down by gender over here. We have reach by race and ethnicity, and reach by age, and reach by grade. For observations, for the purposes of fidelity, so activities completed against activities planned, we have how many sessions do you observe for that purpose? How many sessions did you observe for the purposes of observed quality? That's typically the same in terms of the number of sessions observed. And average observed adherence for fidelity. And then we ask for an average of quality metrics. Now, don't be too concerned about this average. Some of you might be thinking, well, if all of this reporting takes place at the section level, it could very well be the case that we only have one observation per section, particularly if the section has 10 or fewer sessions. And that's just absolutely fine. If you just have one observed session for the section, then you would just put the direct results for that particular session in here. So quickly turning to the spreadsheet that could be helpful to you. Once again, the spreadsheet is not required. You can use it. You can use tools that you've developed yourself or will develop yourself. If you do happen to use it, you're not going to have to provide it to us. It's really just for your own use. Won't read all the directions now. So there's, as you can see, there are several tabs. One key direction is just that there's supposed to be one spreadsheet per section. So you would just save a version for each particular section. And that makes sense based on the calculation that is done. So let's take a look at the attendance spreadsheet. A few things about that. So there's a row for each participant. You can see the categories here, the demographic categories. I've pre-populated four items. We've got it set up where you would make a choice from the available categories. So that's for gender, race, and ethnicity. You would go ahead and make a choice from the there as well. And the same thing for age, the same thing for grade. As far as sessions, just the sample here just has there being a total of five sessions, but it doesn't matter if there were six or seven or 13 or 15. All you would do is just add on. So if this was the sixth session, we just need, if you want, do session six or however you want to do it. You can fill a name however you want to do it, session seven. Doesn't matter. You can just continue going on as basically as far as you want to the right as needed. Have the direction that for attendance, one indicates the participant attended, zero they did not. So we're saying that for this participant, they attended four out of five, so it makes sense to see 80% here. Here are where the formulas are. You can't click into the cells here. The formulas are protected, but they work. So let's say instead of one, we went ahead and made that zero. You can see the percentage drops down to 60. So you just go ahead and indicate that reach as defined earlier, if a participant attends at least one activity, so certainly if they've attended a session, that means that they've achieved reach. So that is just calculated for you there. Let's look, we'll come back to this, but let's look at the observations quickly. So I happen to have, for this section, I have two observations listed. As I said earlier, you very well may end up with just one. You have the observation date, the session name or number if you want to give that, and then all of these are quality, All of these are quality metrics. And same thing, where we've got the range of choices there for you, with one being poor up to five, meaning excellent. Over here is where you'd put the fidelity information. So for this session, there were 10 activities planned, and 9 were completed for 90% fidelity. And same here, 7 out of 8 for 87.5. Same thing here, the formula's here, and you can't get at that. This selected calculated measures, it takes information supplied on each of these two spreadsheets and gives you some overall numbers. So let's have a look back at what we're asked for. We're asked for total reach, average participant attendance, youth completing 75% or more sessions. That information is right there for us. Here we've got the average of all the quality measures, so that matches up very nicely with what you have here. Again, if you had only one observation, you wouldn't worry about averaging. You would just plug in like a 4 for explanation of activities right here in explanation of activities. So that takes care of much here. For sessions planned, that would be however many sessions you anticipated it would take for the section, and then you'd indicate how many sessions were implemented. Average observed adherence, that's also calculated for you right down here. So that's really helpful. Now, for the breaking down of reach by the different demographic items. So let's say, let's imagine it's pretty simple because there's only 4 rows of data here, but let's say you had 30 rows for 30 students. So the process I'm going to show you now, I think you'd find to be helpful. So let's say you wanted to know how many females. You would go ahead and click on here. You would get rid of the select all, that because that shows all the answers that you provided. You just go ahead and click female, click OK, and it would just show you the females. So you know there's 2. Another way of knowing there's 2 is you just look down here, and the first number here would show you there's 2 there. So if, as far as gender goes, I could go back and just plug in my 2. And you could do that for the rest of the categories. To get out of the filter, you just click there, clear filter, and you're all set. For race and ethnicity, same thing. I click here. Let's say I wanted to know Asian, Hispanic, Latino. Click that, hit OK. It shows me the 1. I can confirm that there if I want to. Asian, Hispanic, Latino. I can come down, Asian, Hispanic, Latino. Okay, there's 1 there. So that gets filled out by the helpful of the spreadsheet, this one too. And the same thing would apply. I'm going to clear out of the filter. Click there, clear filter. So the same thing would apply for the reach by age and reach by grade. So the spreadsheet is optional, but we feel that you might find it to be very, very useful. One other note here is just another resource for you. So the resources tab, when it comes to observations. So here you've got some guidance about some quality measures. So for how clear were the program planner's explanation of activities, and it gives you some guidance. So this is, that's a useful tool for you there. So that's all I have, Tara, for this part of the presentation.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt. Before we open the phone lines for questions, I think there's still a few questions in the Q&A box that I would like to check first. Okay. Edith's question is, are quality and fidelity measures required for control or counterfactual interventions? In terms of what you report to us for TPP performance measures, we only want you to report in this system the quality and fidelity measures for the intervention, your TPP intervention that you're testing. Now, in a separate world, we work with Mathematica on evaluation technical assistance, and as you're on your eval TA calls, you'll be hearing about the need to have some assessment of quality and fidelity for evaluation technical assistance and for the quality of your implementation, implementation or process evaluation. So for that purpose, you'll need to look at some sort of metric of the quality of implementation of your control or counterfactual condition, but we don't want anything about your control or counterfactual condition entered into the TPP performance measures database. So no, not for performance measures. Okay, next question, track referrals by individual or by section. So you'll likely find that it'll be easiest to track your referrals by section. So how many referrals are made, you know, for each section. And again, if you're talking about a one-on-one intervention, then that is most likely going to be done at the individual level because your section may very well be more easily defined at the individual level. Okay, Hillary asked, with trainings for study staff related to the overall study and study protocols be considered supplemental trainings? So I think that this is one of the gray areas. For Tier 2 grantees, for 2Bs and 2Cs, since the rigorous evaluation is such an important part of your implementation, then, you know, I would say, yes, you could definitely consider those as supplemental trainings. Because your study is a key part of what you're doing as part of your TPP grant. Our priority for the performance measures is tracking implementation of and delivery of the project, however. So I would leave that to your discretion. But like I said, for you, for Tier 2Bs and Tier 2Cs, those trainings are important. Okay, so for an app-based intervention, should you click on all states for the states served? Okay, we're going to have to think about that a little bit. I'm probably thinking if you have a way, I'm not sure what you're going to be doing for your particular evaluation. If you have a way to track the specific state that someone is in when they're served, that would be preferred. If not, you know, maybe we have something, maybe we create an additional measure that specifically deals with multi-state implemented individuals. We'll need to think through that a little bit more and get back to you on that. So ideal number of sessions for an app-based intervention. So again, this is something that you might want to think about as a proxy measure. It might be, is it one session for your whole app, or is there a way that you're actually tracking for implementation purposes how each individual interfaces with each specific app? So, think about how you're going to define what your sessions are, because from the grantee perspective, if you're talking about a OEH-funded Tier 2B grantee, we do ask for grantees to submit implementation plans, and one of the aspects of the implementation plan is to define the ideal number of sessions or meetings for your intervention. So I'm going to recommend thinking about how you're going to do a proxy for your number of sessions for the app-based intervention based on how it's actually implemented and what you're planning to track in terms of how individuals interface with that app. And we can talk further about that offline after the call. And another question from Dre, are the indicators in the average rating across session visible, suggested examples, or required, such as poise, enthusiasm, et cetera? Okay, so these are on the OAH Fidelity Observation Quality Form. And so, if these measures do not relate specifically to your intervention, because, say, your intervention is technology-based, for example, and you don't have facilitators, then you'll need to create proxies for these measures. So what we would ask is some other proxy that looks at how individuals interface with your project. So you might not be able to talk about poise per se, but you should still have some sort of overall quality for your intervention in terms of how it's being implemented, and you should probably think about, you know, what would be some other proxies that talk about the quality of how something is implemented. So my answer to this would be that, you know, the answer is going to be specific to your intervention, and so this is probably a question that we can answer in more detail offline. But the first part of that would be to think about what proxies might be based on how your intervention is implemented. Okay. Andrea's question is, if we use the spreadsheet, does it automatically populate the performance measures form? Okay, Matt?
No. You need to take the results from the spreadsheet and populate the form.
Okay, thank you, Matt. And Arcana asks, do we need to enter demographic data for those who participate in focus groups for the formative phase of curriculum development? And the answer there is no. We're only asking specifically for demographic data for those individuals who participate in your intervention phase of your study, and for any individuals for whom you are piloting your intervention before you start the full phase of your rigorous evaluation. So if you collect any demographic data or information about your formative phase of your curriculum development through your focus groups, your key informant interviews, et cetera, then you can summarize that information in your project report narratives. You can also upload it to MACS.gov. All of you as Tier 2B grantees have an evaluation folder, and as well as a program folder, and one of the categories in those folders is for formative research. So you're more than welcome to provide a summary of your formative research to us in your MAPS folder as well as in your progress report narrative, but we are not looking for formative research demographic data in the performance measures. Okay, one last question through the Q&A box, and then we're going to switch to questions by phone, and that is that our program will be implemented totally in rural settings. How do we respond to the urbanicity question? There is a third category that deals with rural, and I believe that it did not show up because of how Matt set up his example to just be urban and suburban. But when you're actually looking at the grantee level, at the categories for program implementation, there are three categories. There's rural, there's urban, and there's suburban. Okay.
I have that shown now, Tara, on the screen if my screen
okay.
is still visible. So, yeah.
Yep. Oh. I think you have to, I'm not seeing it, Matt. I think we have to go back.
You're,
okay. Oops.
That's okay.
Okay. Oh, my screen's just shut. Okay, now there it is.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right, so I think that answers Sally's question. So, operator, at this time, we'd like to open the phone lines to questions.
Absolutely. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone and record your first and your last name clearly when prompted. If you would like to withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone and record your first and your last name clearly when prompted. One moment as we wait for any questions. Okay, our first question comes from Hillary. Your line is open.
Hi, I was just wondering, for individual level interventions where each person is considered a section, we might have, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 people enrolled. Is there going to be the spreadsheet upload option for the website like there was last time? So that we don't have to enter each person by hand into the...
Right. Oh, yeah. So I understand what you're saying. Unfortunately, that's not an option now. So that's why I would say that, you know, if it's possible, you might want to consider and explore whether each of your sites, you know, whether it's something like each individual therapist or facilitator for your program is the section, and that then you're tracking the sessions that, you know, entering them that way. So I think we can sort of answer that, look a little more specifically at that offline. So one of the things that we're going to be doing over the next
week or so, couple of weeks, of having some special virtual office hours related to the data upload piece. And so I think that, you know, we'll probably be able to answer some of those more specific questions through that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 from your phone and record your first and your last name clearly when prompted. One moment as you wait for any more questions. We have no questions in queue.
Okay. Well, at this time, I will be ending the webinar, but I do want to let you know that if you have any questions you can read about the system, you can send them through Matt or, you know, through the RTI TPP Performance Measures Help Desk email that Matt demonstrated. We'll also be holding some virtual office hours, and so you can look for more information about that from RTI soon. If you have questions about the measures themselves, you can feel free to contact me. My email address is tara.rice@hhs.gov. Or you can send them through your project officer, and they will send them to me. And, you know, we will be talking more about cost measures and additional tools that will help you with the cost measures in the upcoming weeks as well. So at this time, this concludes our webinar. I want to thank everyone for participating. Remind you that this webinar is recorded, and we will be posting a recording once we have that available. Thank you, and have a great day. Bye.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. All participants may disconnect at this time.